Blog Talk Radio.
Europe, and good evening in the Pacific Northwest. All right, everybody, glad you're here with me tonight. It's another day coming to a close pretty soon for Tuesday, and I hope everybody has had a decent day. It was beautiful out in the Northwest today. Saw some people spending some time outside, working on their yards, keeping their distance for sure. I made my rounds into the downtown area today by vehicle just to sort of get a feeling. And it was pretty darn empty compared to yesterday. I noticed just even at mid-afternoon, 3 to 4 o'clock, we had a small amount of people in the parking lots of the supermarkets, and the gas stations were just vacant, and very few cars and very few people on the street. People are taking it a little bit more serious. I didn't even see really the normal amount of people walking around as they usually do. So it was certainly quiet today in comparison. And I think that's actually a good thing, just based on what's going on. Just another one of those days. And in the course of the day today, it was a little sad because, you know, more people have passed. And, just expected and anticipated. And there's an incredible songwriter that we just lost a couple hours ago, John Prine, an amazing artist who's been around for many, many years and blessed us with so many incredible songs, really loved by Bob Dylan, as you know, in that same genre. And I thought, like, in honor of him, and by the way, you know, when I talk about people who we all know, people who have touched our lives, I hope you realize I'm not taking away at all from the people that are unknown who we've lost to this incredible disease that's taken our world by storm right now. So, and during the playing of this song, I want to play a song which is called When I Get to Heaven, and by John Prine. And when this song is playing, you know how we always do our 15 or 20 second meditation, prayer, whatever you want to call it, just to have that silence. I hope you'll just take some time in the song. It's about 3 minutes or so, almost 4 minutes long. I'm not sure if I'll play the whole song, but let's honor John Prine a little bit and all the people that are fighting this illness today and the ones that we've lost. This is When I Get to Heaven by John Prine.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake God's hand, thank him for more blessings than one man can stand. Then I'm going to get a guitar and start a rock and roll band, check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? And then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm gonna kiss that pretty girl on the tilt of the world. Cause this old man is going to town. Then as God is my witness, I'm getting back into show business. I'm gonna open up a nightclub called the Tree of Forgiveness and forgive everybody ever done me any harm. Why, I might even invite a few choice critics, those syphilitic parasitics. Buy them a pint of Smithix and smother them with my charm. Cause then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm going to kiss that pretty girl on the tilt.
John Prine, and just wanted to have a little bit of silence after that song so everybody could do what we talked about, just having a little silence and to think about the people that we love and think about the people that we've lost and realize that if you believe that, they're up in heaven. That's John Prine, When I Get to Heaven, a little bit of that song to just honor his life and his work. I think we got Rhonda E. on the phone. Are you there, Rhonda E.?
I'm here.
There she is. All right. We had a little technical
meet
happening. So how you doing? Good evening. All
I'm
right.
Doing good. How about you?
We're just doing it. We're on the air. It's a Tuesday night. It's been a pretty nice day out there for everybody. And just hoping, like I said earlier, that people got out there and enjoyed a little bit of the sunshine, took a walk and spent some time in the garden. And such things. And how about you? How was your day?
Kind of what I did today. I spent as much time outside as I could possibly today. And I actually was so excited for the first time because my magnolia tree, just all of a sudden now it's got like it looks like a tulip, you know, coming out of it. And I'm like, in the entire time I've been here, I've never had it bloom with a flower. So I was just like, oh my gosh, is this really happening? So I was excited about that. And I just took pictures of flowers today. Kind of just almost like inspected my own yard, even though things aren't great and perfect. I inspected certain places maybe where I didn't look before. And then there was this really, really super tiny little bird that was just like, you know, on the magnolia and would go back and forth to both of them, the branches. And they kind of just kind of sat there on the branch and I was like talking to it, you know, and kind of just absorbing the beauty of this little teeny bird. I mean, if I could have put it in my palm, I would have. It was so cute. So, yeah, so a few, you know, good things today just to, you know, and then hearing people, you know. I mean, it's kind of like with all this going on and, you know, some neighborhoods, it's almost like a ghost town at moments. And then all of a sudden it's like here comes sounds, you know, bicyclists, and here comes the sounds of little kids laughing and, you know, talking and then the animals making the noise. So there's just a lot of things that I was like absorbing, you know, like, wow, I love this. This is great. I want more of it. I want more.
Well, it's a good thing.
You know,
exactly. One of the most important things that are going around, you know, in thoughts right now is just to try to maintain as much normalcy as possible, because you know,
I stayed off social media all day. I didn't get on any news. I didn't look at anything. I didn't ponder anything. I was like, nope, I'm not doing it today. I'm done. I know what I already heard. We already saw it. I don't need to see it 10 times. I'm going to go enjoy. I'm going to live. Well, I can't. That's how I looked at it today.
Well, it's really true. That's the right attitude to have, because it does become overwhelming.
Yep.
And I'm trying to, you know,
exactly,
make sure that we don't get completely caught up in our broadcast, which we're trying to keep it, you know, keep it real. But at the same time, real is not is not just getting overdosed with all the news and the negativity and statistics.
Exactly.
You know, this thing has got to work it out. You know, I mean, the only thing that's happening on a daily basis is the negative, which we've anticipated. We've talked about the last few days, to know that from this point on for the next 7 to 10 days, the shock factor is all around us. So we have to maintain some normalcy. This is my point. I want to hear about the positive things and the good things that people are doing and taking advantage of this time. We acknowledge all our workers and nurses and health people at risk in their lives. We do that every show. We're doing it now. We'll do it for a minute or two. Doesn't mean it's always on. They're not always on our minds. But I want to hear about the good stories, like the local businesses that are delivering really nice meals to people that need them, the seniors that are getting their neighbors to shop for them, all the different things, and the thankfulness and the blessings that people are throwing back and forth to each other, the smiles and the appreciation of simple things that most of us take for granted based on the high energy technology world that we live in. Go, 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 news, computers, iPhones,
exactly,
all that stuff. And it's good to see some creativity happening with the use of these tools. You know, people are making funny movies and making suggestions and doing cooking videos, and there's so much music to choose from, and it's really, really great. I remember about a week and a half ago, it's really hard to believe that right now we're on our 34th show of this series. So we've done 34 shows since this has happened. 34, which is like 2 seasons worth for me on Foodomania. Usually a Foodomania season is about 15 shows. This would be considered our 9th season. And we're also the 8th and 9th season we've done in literally 2 weeks. And I really, you know, it's just because, you know, we want to do this. I'm committed to using this broadcast as a vehicle to bring people together. I'd like to get some more interaction from the community, and hopefully that'll continue to happen. But little by little, I'm getting a few emails today, but I'd like to get more. I'd like more and more people to pass it on, just so we, this is not a for-profit show. This is not anything that's going to give you commercials every 30 seconds. We're just talking. We're working it out. We need people's opinions. Rhonda and I are taking information and stories of the good stuff that people are throwing our way and our own personal experiences, and trying to share them with you guys out there so that you can maybe get a little bit more insight and information on how to get through this a little bit better. Because sometimes, you know, we need new ideas. We lose perspective when we're just in our own world. So it's good to hash things back and forth, for sure. And that's the purpose of the show. And like tomorrow night, we'll do a really fun show. We'll only do one tomorrow, Rondi. That'll be just at 9 o'clock, and it's going to be a 1 hour Passover special, because it'll be the first night of Passover, which is a Jewish holiday, which is very, very incredible. Based on, if you've ever seen the movie The Ten Commandments, and when the Jews fled Egypt. It's connected to so many different things, which I'm not going to get into right now, because you'll be able to hear the show tomorrow and hear it. It's also Easter that's coming up. It'll be a Good Friday this week. It was Palm Sunday this past week. So it's even if this other stuff wasn't going on, it's a time to reflect on your beliefs and your faith, and bring your families and the loved ones closer together. And we have a very interesting backdrop to all that this year. And hopefully people will be able to come together in their beliefs and their prayers and their souls, so to speak, this week, you know. And I'm glad that we can be a little part of that.
Hello? All right. Anyway, I guess she's not here. I thought she was, but she's not talking. So, all right.
I'm here.
Well,
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
It faded out on me.
Well, I guess when you're doing radio, sometimes you've got to just sort of pick up on what the other person's saying at the right time. But that's usually when you can see each other. And when you can't see each other, it makes it a little tricky. But, your feelings. Yeah, all right. And I know you're getting some good responses to your love box. I call it the love box, which is Rhonda's one of projects in association with another group here in our town. And providing some canned goods and dry goods for people who are in need and need a little bit extra for their food day. And I happened to observe it today. I went and saw it, and it's looking really good. I like the way you have flowers and things are on it, and it looks like it's just such a really good thing. And you told me that I guess some people were coming by to take pictures of it.
Yeah, that happened today. There were people walking on the street, and one lady stopped right in the front of it, and I was getting something, and she goes, "Is that yours?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "That is so cool. Can I take a picture of it?" And I said, "Sure." And then, my neighbors across the street, like I said the other day, I said something to them too, you know, and they were making comments again today about it. So, yeah, it's just a love box. It's just basically, like I said, it's just somebody got creative through the church here in our community, and they made a newspaper bin into a food box. And so basically I have items like canned goods, tuna, I have apple juice, I have granola bars. You know, it's interesting because there's been a couple things that have gone out of it, and nobody's taken a lot, but I think maybe after all the hoarding that went on, maybe everybody's kind of got, you know, full pantries. I don't know. But in that being said, it's still there. And there have been a couple people from, you're from whatever community, and people making comments. So, you know, I was happy about it just for the fact that I was just thinking of my neighborhood. I was also thinking if there's any way I can help. You know, I'm certainly not going to invite people. I'm not being mean. I'm not going to invite people to my door and hand out food. So with the 6 feet, 10 feet away, it made sense to have something practical right there. I can keep it clean in the morning, the evening, and, you know, keep it stocked up with certain things. And hopefully it will be a blessing to somebody. That was my hope.
I'm certainly sure it is, and thank you for doing that, and for, you know, anybody that's seen her was able to benefit from it. It's a good thing, for sure, you know. Anyway, there's some ideas, you know, for you out there to be able to do a similar type thing. If you have some extra goods or something that you want to share, figure out some sort of a way that you can pass it on to people in need. I've seen people put signs on their cars, things in their windows. It's an amazing thing how people are really communicating that way. Like, again, I want to say thank you very much to the local businesses who have supplied food for the local hospital and all the workers there. I had a quick little conversation via email with one of the people that works at a local convenience store here, somebody I used to work with at another restaurant, and I have a friend association with him on Facebook. I haven't seen him for a while, but he's been working doing a lot of takeout work, but he's also volunteering to help somebody at a local service station, gas station, to be able to, you know, cover some shifts, because there are some people. He told me that one of the ladies that has worked there for a long time has been diagnosed with this virus, and she's quarantined at home. She's not, thank goodness, she's at a stage where she could be taken care of at home. But he's filling in there, and he said that, you know, they're maintaining, smiles, and they're seeing different people, and the general attitude of people has been really respectful. And, he's seen specifically a couple of times one person would come in to get something, of course, 6 feet away, and they'd be trying to go through their change or trying to do that. And he whipped out his credit card, you know, his debit card, and he just went ahead and ran the sale.
Right.
He just said, "I got to take care and just go." Just because he didn't want them to be in the store any longer. He didn't want them to fish through their pockets and touch the money and this and that. He just went ahead and said, "Look, it's, you know, 10 bucks, whatever." He was in a position to be able to help. I'm seeing that more and more the last couple of days. And I'm just so happy to see that kind of attitude, you know. I mean, you have to look at if there's anything anything positive about any of this, Rhonda E., wouldn't you agree that it's giving some people a chance to come together in a way that maybe they wouldn't have before?
I think, yeah, there's a lot of people. I think it's kind of like in that place where you have to decide whether, you know, you're willing to put aside your differences, your opinions, your thoughts, you know, and just really kind of come together and go, wait, you know, if you could look at the fact that we're all human, we all, you know, have our own individual thoughts, it's great, but we're all human. We're all in the same kind of skin, regardless of your color. We're all in the same skin. So, you know, it doesn't matter what color you are. We're all in the same skin. We're all in the same boat. We're all riding this out. It's all unknown. But when we can unify and put aside all of our differences and even sometimes our opinions and our attitudes, whatever you want to call it, and just say, you know what, we're going to do this. We're standing united, hand in hand. What was that song that Lionel Richie and, oh, gosh, Michael Jackson and all the other people, we are the world, we are the people. Da 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 da. We need that song back. We need to hear that song again,
right?
Because that song basically talks about unity. We are the world, we are the people. You know, and so I just think, yeah, I think clearly that's kind of where we all just need to be. I had that conversation with somebody today, and I said, you know, I know it's hard. I know this is difficult, but we have to unify. We have to try to communicate and understand and hear each other in this moment where
right.
there's an unknown, and everybody's reacting differently. You know, everybody's
yep.
feeling a certain amount of anxiety. So we have to be able to go, I got to step back and I got to go, wait a minute, and unify ourselves and become united as a whole and try to have more compassion, more understanding, more patience, I'm sure now, than we should have ever had before, because we're all in this together.
Right. Well, it is. You know, I wanted to say that in connection to what you just said, something that touched me today was something was published on National Public Radio, and it was basically, the title of the post was "Letter from a Heartbroken Restaurant Owner in Seattle," and I'll tell you a little bit about this letter, but it made me think, you know, our show is basically the diary of a food service worker. That's how this show started, because when pretty much a couple of days before I started the show, I was personally laid off, and many hundreds and hundreds of other people in the Washington State area, not to mention the whole country. If you were in a restaurant, either an owner or you were a cook in a institution, or whatever your job was, a food service worker, 98% to 99% of everybody in the business has lost their job. And the people that are still working are usually just maybe an owner and maybe one of the cooks to be able to provide some sort of a takeout situation for people. And what I would like to do is I would like to invite anybody that's listening, you know, the food worker group, I'd like to start hearing a little bit about your stories, and I'd love you to write us a little bit of a paragraph or something. Just tell us what your situation is and how you feel about it. Because the reality of all this and everything that's going on is that, you know, many of the businesses that had to close will not be reopening. And, you know, so therefore the people who are employed by a lot of these people will probably in a lot of cases not have a job to come back to. And when the time comes that some of these restaurants reopen again, I'm sure that they will try to hire off the people that used to work there if they're still available to work, but there'll be a lot of people looking for jobs. I've heard that restaurant stores where people, you know, husband and wife would buy a restaurant together before all this happened, and they'd have to work so hard in that restaurant and put tons of strain on their relationship with their kids, tons of strain on them financially, because I know as a former owner of two or three restaurants, it really put pressure on everybody in the family just to keep my dream going, you know, and they bought into the dream and were part of it too. But, you know, there was a lot of sacrifices that people had to make, and I'd love to hear some feelings and stories about that. It'd be a good outlet to tell your story and to be able to share it with others. So therefore, when the dust clears, we can all come together, like Rhonda was saying, in a way that we can help each other and support each other. What do you think about something like that, Rhonda E.?
No, I agree.
You know,
yes,
there's so many. Go ahead. 3 second delay.
I said supporting each other is the most important thing you can do.
Yeah, in every single way. And like I said, since we sort of geared the whole idea of this program to people in the service industry who are, you know, like yourself, like me, like a lot of other people, to have some ideas and some talk outs to see what we can help each other with and to be able to make peace with it all, you know. There's a lot of opportunities in just being able to talk to somebody who has the same similar experience that you do. Anyway, okay, I will continue the conversation. I'm really glad that everybody tuned in tonight. And it looks like I kind of lost Rhonda E. I guess she got disconnected. That's why there was silence. But I'd like to tell everybody, thank you very much for listening tonight. And appreciate it very, very much. Tomorrow, remember, we'll be on the air at 9 o'clock. That'll be 9 p.m., and that will be the Passover show. It should be a really great show. It'll last about an hour. I hope that you'll tune in and listen to it. It's a really cool one. I want to go out on a song, and I guess I played it a couple of times during the show. I'm going to play it one more time to take us out. And this is, again, Bill Withers. It's called Lean On Me, which is a good ode to all of us just trying to support each other. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to Foodomania. Remember, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, the Passover show. Have a good night.